Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Probe, with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Christian Bonici, who's the Deputy Director of External Funded Projects at the University of Malta's Project Support Office. So Christian, what does a Project Support Office do?
That's a nice question. Project Support Office has been conceptualized way back in 2006. The idea was that since the university joined the EU, Malta joined the EU in 2004, a number of projects, a number of opportunities have opened up for researchers. Now, here there's something very important. University has always done research. It's not something that was started with the EU membership or with 2004. It's the university actually got new opportunities with the EU, got access to new research funding, and therefore this gave a boost to the research opportunities to academics. This also is a bit different. This type of research is a bit different than the type of research that you do personally in your own room or in your own lab, which leads to a publication. This type of research at European level is mostly collaborative research done between partners in a consortium of partners, and also sometimes, unfortunately, it might be a bit more bureaucratic because you will have the EU who needs to be accountable to the public about the spending of the money. So this brings with it an element of demand, certain demands on the beneficiaries, which might deviate the attention of a researcher from the real objective of what he's doing, the research. So the university, not only in Malta but anywhere, they usually think of helping researchers through the support mechanisms. So the project support was specifically set up in 2006 to support the researchers and take as much burden as possible from the researchers, administrative burden from the researchers. The idea originally was to combine the support, the input of three offices, the International Office, the Legal Office and the Finance Office, but then this was extended also to HR Office, Human Resources and Knowledge Transfer Office. This could possibly even change over time in the coming weeks and months, possibly, because we are now thinking of making it even more holistic into a research support directorate. So it will not be just an office, but trying to bring all together the other services that might be required when you spend money, such as, for example, procurement, such as, for example, IT services. You might need IT support to run a project. All into one directorate, and it's not just a matter of a structure, but also ideally we would be all together working to support the academic. The academic will come to one place and will have the support all in one place. So the idea started from there. It continued to evolve into a structure which we have today.
So you help the academics doing, you know, form filling, applying for funds, finding universities to collaborate with, that kind of thing?
I think we can distinguish between four main phases. The first phase is the prospecting. Prospecting is the phase when you are literally searching for opportunities. You would like to do some research, or there are partners who would like to collaborate with us, and we are seeing what is available, what can be accessed to be able to do this research. Research is very expensive, especially when you need certain consumables and equipment, and therefore some research cannot be done unless there is enough funding. And to be fair, no government can really fund all the research.
So you're talking about partners. Do you mean industry partners?
At university level, it's very normal to have universities and similar institutions, but this might extend also to partners, to industry partners. The reason being that the type of funding, the funder actually, might really allow partners from industry to join into the consortium. So yes, it could also be that there is industry as well involved in the partnership.
So you're helping them at the sort of, you said, the proposal stage.
So this is the prospecting stage. Okay. Once you manage to come that find the mechanism, a funding mechanism, then there is the proposal phase where you have to write up a proposal and practically rush up to the final deadline to submit it in time. And that is not an easy task because bringing together many partners from different countries, it might not be very easy. But the proposal phase is what we call the pre-award phase, is part of the pre-award phase. Not all proposals get accepted, and therefore there is a lot of investment, I would say, into proposals which might not get funded. We learn a lot from that as well, and we try to make sure that proposals do not get rejected simply for silly mistakes or something like that. Then there is the implementation stage, which obviously is the longest and which requires most resources, so to say. And it is the area where really you are, it's never enough. The amount of resources to, so to say, especially in a university, it's never enough. Because the moment you give support, obviously academics start to realize that that's something which may have been a dream in the past, now it's possible. And therefore the demands on the support are never ending. So far the university has had quite a centralized system of support. So people employed at the project support office in central administration reaching out to academics out into their faculties, or the academics coming to the project support office. But what we are also thinking is the idea of going decentralized and start giving support also to academics and researchers, promising academics and researchers into their own faculties by going there and including the prospecting, proposal writing, and also the implementation from there. That would be the best. The idea of having a good a system of support. Obviously, it requires much more, many more resources, because if you're going to give someone to each and every faculty, it would be expensive. But we can start doing that slowly as well. And then finally, there will be the post-evaluation stage. It is something which we really need to invest on to make sure that in the next couple, the next step of proposals, we make sure not to go into funding, for example, where it is not worth going, or try to focus a little bit more on the areas where which really can contribute to the advancement of the research in Malta and of the university. So that is something which you can do only after you start closing certain projects. And I think after 10 years of projects, we can do that easily, and even the experience now is allowing us to look where we also made things better over the time. So those are, I think, the most salient phases of a project from beginning to end.
So from the proposal stage, like you said, you may find other universities, collaborators for people to work with. When you're talking about the stage where you're trying to get people to work on it, is that also including staff from other universities perhaps to come and work in Malta on the project?
Depends on the project, but it is possible, yes. Some projects fund, for example, postdoctorate students or PhD students, and these students can come to Malta and do their PhD with academics in Malta. Those are the projects that we really need a lot of them. If possible, we can have more of them. That would obviously increase our exposure and also the research, because we can bring together the external expertise with the local talent.
And do you also look to sending our local brains essentially across to other universities in Europe and further afield perhaps to...
This can be seen, I think, in two ways. The local academics already have these number of opportunities to go and expose their research and their talent outside. So that's already one thing. But it can also be seen as a possibility of having students or even employees or researchers who can go out and do the research or collaborate with researchers outside, and then eventually it will be a shared or a joint publication or joint findings, something like that. But yes, the idea of a consortium then is that the whole group of partners actually own what is coming out of the projects.
So how does a researcher, a doctor, a student come up with the idea? Not how do they come up with the idea, what do they do once they've got their idea for research? How do they come to you and say, we need to do this, there are the benefits. What's the process there?
The process, I think it's something which is quite standard at this stage. Academics, a number of academics have adapted themselves to this. There is an email address, which is project support@um.edu.mt, and you can just send a proposal or send an email there. The number of people, we are approximately 30. I think if you want also the half-timers, we are approximately 30. Most of them see these emails, and by now we know who should act on what. If there is a proposal, for example, the pre-award team will work on that proposal. If it is something related to an existing project, the project support officer on the project, on the respective project, will probably act on the particular email. It's very difficult for this email to be ignored. We cannot ignore it, actually. And to be fair, I mean, we are there specifically for this reason. We feel that we are on the side of the academics. We feel that we can help them do something which, as we're saying, it's something which it has grown and it is continuing to grow, so it is our duty to make this happen. And after all, our role depends on this. So the moment they send this email, the email to the project support address, they get contacted immediately, and we'll see what will happen and what they need. We'll see what they need.
So are there, you mentioned about funds being available, do the academics just send in their emails when they have an idea and you say, hey, there's this fund coming up, we can, you know,
that's
put another, it together, application?
Yes, that's another area which recently we also started investing some more time, because the way I described it could be that you have an idea and you just send an email, whereas if you look at it as more from a prospective point of view, we started now organizing also certain trainings in which we expose the academics to the funding opportunities, open calls, for example. We have this initiative called Funding Fridays every Friday. We are using the office at the Takeoff Award, the Takeoff Business Incubator, and over there we have individuals from the pre-award phase who stay there every Friday, and any academic can just pop in and start discussing. But we also use it by appointment, so if you want to discuss something specific, we can use the Funding Fridays as an opportunity. It's good to make it, to have it on Friday, because it's Friday is good to discuss and to dream.
To relax a little.
To relax a little. So yes, so this is an area which, now that we've started gaining also trust from the academics, and we know what they need, we are also trying to be a step ahead and be a bit more proactive. So rather than you have to find an opportunity or come last minute and ask whether there are possible funds for something, and you realize that the call has closed last week, for example, we can be a little bit more proactive and identify the calls upfront, and then the academic will see in which call he can fit or she can fit.
Do academics, do you find them that they're, you know, because they're academics and their main goal is to do research, is it difficult to actually get them to open up and discuss their work, not necessarily from the research aspect, but from the fact that one day it could be a commercial aspect? Is that something else you help with, being the support office?
The project support office is mostly handling the implementation and making sure that the reporting is done, that the expenditure is spent. But obviously we try to take this a little bit more. So and this we do it also with the support of the knowledge transfer office. So if there are other possibilities that open up, because the project has potential commercialization, for example, the knowledge transfer office works very close with us, and we very close with them, so the academic can have the support on that side. So yes, it could be seen that they are in phases, but in reality, if you want to commercialize, you most probably have to think about it before. And when we notice that there is this need, or when the academic explains what there is, yes, we can go to knowledge transfer. It can happen the other way around, and there are various ways how you can do it. Some things start from the knowledge transfer office and then come to project support office. I think we are both support offices. Our challenge is to make sure that the academic don't see us as too fragmented.
So you said about these Funding Fridays. So any academic can just come, any student can come?
Yes. The student, obviously, if it's less targeted to students, because the students work more with the academics. And if it is an undergrad, most probably it is outside the scope of the funding for this, because an undergrad or a thesis, an undergraduate thesis, does not require funding. But if it is a master's or a PhD student working with an academic, they might find it helpful to have funding. Sometimes there are students who work on a PhD through a project, through an externally funded project. And this would obviously entail the administration required to make that project happen. In spite of the research side and the PhD side, there would still be the administrative side of it. The project support will help, obviously, in that regard.
You also mentioned something about legal. What aspects do you offer there?
When you have the Commission, the European Commission or the European Union, there are so many legal implications involved. Even because also there are a number of partners, so relationships might go wrong, or you might need to collect some money from one of the partners. You need to be careful to do these things up front rather than when a problem arises. So you need a legal advice, and because the number of projects have increased, legal support is obviously is very important, and that is also part of the project support. Yes, there is the legal office lends us people from the legal office to give support also in this regard.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Christian Bonici from the University of Malta's Project Support Office. So what do you find is the challenging aspect, or the aspect that you do most of? Is it funding applications? Is it proposal writing? What's the mainstay of the Project Support Office?
I think proposal writing is the biggest challenge, because the better you are there, the greater are the possibility to get projects. And this better that I'm saying can be divided into two. It's from the one hand, you need to be good into writing good proposals. And on the other hand, you need to also to encourage people to take the plunge and really come into the, go into it. Because as I said, research has been done for a number of many years. I mean, it's not something which started recently or that necessarily needs to be done in the format of a project. But then the project type of research is completely different than the one that you do on your own. So from one hand, you can say I'm comfortable into doing my own research. It still counts. I'm still publishing, and therefore that's some people might think that's good. That's enough. But when you really get into this world, some people don't even get out of it. So would like to continue doing, because even the trick is to be into a good consortium. So once you manage to get into a good consortium and to have a number of academics who are in good consortia and they manage to keep on getting projects, then yes, you might find it attractive. That's obviously a very important aspect of the pre-award and the proposal writing, because if you do not write a good proposal, then this whole world of possibilities or opportunities will not open up. Project support has been a bit weak in this, because we have not really given, or for a number of years, we didn't really give support into proposal writing. But we have been discussing this, and now we also want to recruit a number of people who will be able to help in this regard.
So is there like a template that the academic can start with and then you refine, or is it each research application is actually completely
different? Each research application is quite different from the other. Although if you get used to a program, Some academics, for example, apply only for Horizon 2020 programs. Others work on the territorial cooperation programs. Some manage also to combine. When you combine, you start realizing how different an application can be. And that is specifically the reason why the project support is there, because we try to take that headache away from the academic, and we try to see that the applications are filled in properly, and if you have a problem with the application or with the information, we try to handle that for you while you focus on writing the technical aspects and make the proposal better. So I think the pre-award and the proposal writing is the biggest challenge. But it's not only that, because in the implementation stage, if something goes wrong, the risk is huge, because there is money involved. If some expenditure is not justified or seen as excessive, money will be asked back. In the post evaluation stage, I would also include auditing, for example. A project can be audited in an infinite number of manners. There can be audits from local auditors, there can be auditors from the commission, there can be even auditors from the court of auditors. So it's not a problem to have auditors, but it's not nice to have auditors all the time, because you will waste a bit of more time when you have to justify each time the expenditure. So if you have the good systems and good structures in place, you might avoid many issues later.
There's obviously been a lot of successful projects that have come out of the University of Malta. Obviously, some of that due to the academic research and obviously with help from the Project Support Office. But have you got some successful projects you can tell us a little bit about that have come out recently from the university?
If there's anything with the university, over here there are almost all the disciplines that you can imagine. So, and I would say that many disciplines have taken the plunge and participated in these types of projects. We have aerospace, we have medicine, we have oceanography, we have information policy governance and cognitive science. These are some of the areas, successful areas, that have participated and continued participating into these types of projects. The exposure obviously is huge, and the amount of money is bigger, so these and other areas can really make a difference with the external funding.
So you said aerospace. I wouldn't have imagined we have an aerospace expertise. Tell us.
Yes, we have an aerospace expertise. There are projects about making flights cleaner, for example.
So cleaner fuel or something like that?
And also making them safer. So fly safe and clean flights are acronyms for projects that have been awarded in the past. They obviously each academic has his own area of expertise. So if each academic wants to think bigger, you can say that there is funding for each area. Obviously, some areas, especially with the European Commission, are given more importance than others. That's a known fact. But somehow something you can still find, because then there are also funding which are targeting the individual professors or the academics, like the Marie Curie funding, European Research Council funding. I must say that the European Research Council funding is very, very competitive, because it targets the individual. So it targets specifically the professor, the academic, the researcher. And so, because there are many academics and researchers in Europe and also outside, there is quite a number of applications for that. And it's very difficult to get projects. We managed to get one recently. It is the first one that we managed to get. It is about mapping the ocean floor, something like that. Dr. Aaron McCullough can really explain much better about that. But that's the first ERC grant that the University of Malta managed to get, and it's also a challenge for us at support offices to make sure that this project runs successfully and hopefully encourage others to apply for these grants. In fact, recently we also brought some trainers from outside Malta to give us exposure to academics. Encourage them to a certain extent also, because sometimes this type of grants are seen quite out of reach, whereas when you start seeing what you need a number of publications, and many academics have a number of publications. You need good contacts, for example, and many academics have good contacts. These are things which if you think about them, then like Dr. McCullough did, you can really go into these types of funding.
So does Malta have a particular strength? Is there something historically that we seem to be very successful at, not necessarily just winning research funds, but actually in research, is there an area that we're particularly strong at, or is there something else that's emerging that sort of is coming in the into vision now?
Over time, things change. So, for example, recently, digital gaming has been very much in vogue. So
digital gaming?
Digital gaming has been very much in vogue. Medicine, again, and, for example, biobanking is an area where there are good potentials.
They're the sort of the new ones.
Besides the traditional financial services, but these are not really funded through projects, for example, financial services. But digital gaming, biobanking are areas which are given.
Biobanking is the depositing of tissue and things for future use.
For future use. In the long future.
Yes. Excellent. Is there anybody else the Project Support Office supports apart from academics?
I should mention the Research and Innovation Development Trust Fund, the RIDT. It's what was set up a couple of years ago. The idea with the Research and Innovation Development Trust is to have donors donating money to the university for research. It was a novel concept. It was not originated by Project Support, obviously, but it needs also the support, the administrative support, and we are also helping and supporting that. And out of that, a number of good projects are also coming out. Once again, breast cancer is given importance with donors like the life cycle and the life, donating money. We also have ALS. We have collected money, and now RIDT can help with that. So yes, Project Support can make also these types of projects happen. Academics would think about the research, would think about recruiting the PhD or postdoctorate, and we can then help out with the implementation side.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me on this first edition of The Probe. I'm Monique Chambers, and I was joined by Christian Bonici from the Project Support Office here at the University of Malta. Next week, I'm joined by Antoine Gatt from the LifeMed Green Roof Project, telling us all about green roofs.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.